Scripture reading today will be from Exodus 12, 1 through 14 in the Old Testament. I'll be reading from my Confirmation Bible in 61, if I can see the words. Said our Sunday school teacher was my aunt, and we had to memorize the books of the Old and the New Testament, which I could do then, but I'm sure I couldn't do it now. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they shall take every man a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then a man and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and in the lintel of the houses in which they eat them. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled with water, but roasted its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat at your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will unite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the 18th chapter, verses 15 through 20. Let us listen with hearts wide open and ears ready to hear. "If your sister or brother should commit some wrong against you, go and point it out, the error, but keep it between the two of you. If she or he listens to you, you have won their love back. If not, try again, but take one or two others with you, so that every case may stand on the word of two or three witnesses. If your sister or brother refuses to listen to them, refer the matter to the church. If she or he ignores even the church, then treat the sister or brother as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. The truth is, whatever you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed on heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth join in agreement to pray for anything whatsoever, it will be granted to you by my Abba God in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So if you've been paying attention to the liturgy this morning, we have used the words remember, restore, and renew a lot. And that is the UCC theme for the day. So I've worked a lot of those words into the liturgy. But I think those words are held in the Exodus reading quite well. So let us think of those three words: remember, restore, and renew. There are some things that we remember because we want to, right? There's fun and exciting things that we want to remember. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, graduations, the birth of a grandchild, a special meal around a family table. Those are the fun things that we want to remember. And then there are the things that we remember because we can't let them go. Losses, mistakes, difficult seasons, people we miss, things we wish we could have done differently. Memory can be a wonderful gift, but sometimes memory can also be really heavy. In our reading this morning from Exodus, memory is at the center of the story. The Israelites were about ready to leave Egypt. This is right after the 10 plagues have happened, and Moses has gone to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "No, no, no, no." All the plagues. And now they're preparing to leave. They have been slaves for generations. Generations being 400 years, they have been slaves under Pharaoh. They have cried out to God, and God has heard them. And now finally, they are going to be set free. But before they leave, before they can leave their homes and go on this great trek, God gives them instructions for a meal. God tells them, remember. Remember at this meal. Remember this night. Remember that I, God, has done for you. Remember that you were slaves and that I, God, brought you out. The Passover meal becomes a meal and a practice of remembering. Every year, our Jewish brothers and sisters gather around a table and they continue to tell the story of Passover. There's something important about that. And we touch upon that on Maundy Thursday, which was a Passover service back in Jesus' day, and that is why he was gathered with his disciples, was for that Passover meal in remembrance. We repeat the stories because we don't want to forget. We come to worship, we celebrate communion, we tell Bible stories, and we sing the hymns because we don't want to forget. Now, there's something that I really love about living in a rural community. What I see here, as well as what I grew up with, we understand something about remembering. There is institutional remembrance. You drive around this area, and I can say it's the same for me when I lived back in Maine, and you see the old barns, the farmhouses, the fields, and the orchards. Some buildings are still being used, others stand as reminders of another time. And you share those memories. You can drive past a particular field and remember who farmed it. You remember whose cows were out in the pasture, where somebody's old farmhouse used to stand, and the family that lived there. Where I come from, it was the green barn and the really ugly tree. Everybody knew where the green barn was and where the ugly tree was. That's how you gave directions. When you get to the green barn, turn left. You remember who used to bring the vegetables to church. Who always sat in a particular pew or seat. And from the stories that I have heard, I think everybody has claimed the first seat inside that north door as their seat at some point in time. We remember who made the pies and the baked beans for the potluck dinners. We remember. And those memories matter because they tell us something about where we come from. Every congregation has a memory. We remember the people who built this church as well as who started that church, that building. The people who taught Sunday school, right, Steve? It was your aunt. Who cooked the meals, who shovels the snow, who mowed the grass, who served on committees, who sang in the choirs, who played the music, who counted the money, and who quietly made sure that things got done. Some of their names are written in our records, and we can recall from what committee they sat on. Others may not be written down anywhere within this building, but their fingerprints are still all over the place. We remember them, not so that we can live in the past, but so that we can understand who we are today. The Israelites were told to remember their past because remembering was supposed to shape how they lived into the future. Perhaps that's true for us as well. Remember who you were. You were a slave. Do not treat people the way you were treated. Remember to live into the future. The second word is restore. The Exodus story is all about restoration. God hears the cries of the people who are suffering, sees their oppression, and God begins the work of making things whole again. Restoration does not mean pretending that something was never broken. It means acknowledging that what is broken and beginning to work on the healing. I believe we all understand restoration. Around a farm, it may be that old piece of equipment that gets pulled out of the shed, rusty and missing a part. For others of it might be a piece of clothing or some fabric, piece of furniture that needs to be restored, or an old car brought back to life. We look at it and say, it still has some life in it. So we clean it up, we repair it, we replace what needs replacing, and eventually, something that looked like it was finished has a new purpose. I think God does something like that with us as well. God doesn't throw us away because we are worn and worn out. God doesn't discard us because we have made mistakes. Thanks be to God. God sees what is still possible, and God restores. Sometimes restoration goes beyond the tangible and happens in a relationship. Sometimes it means saying, I'm sorry, or forgiving, or asking for forgiveness. Sometimes it means letting go of something that has been carried far too long. And don't we all need that restoration, collectively as well as individually? We are but mere humans. Wherever people gather, there will still be disagreements and misunderstandings. There will be old wounds and things that we wish we had handled differently. But we cannot spend all of our energy remembering what went wrong. At some point, we have to ask, what needs to be restored? What relationship needs mending? What needs healing? What have I neglected? Where have we stopped listening? Where might God be asking us to try again? Restoration takes courage. Have no doubt about that. Restoration takes courage, but it also takes hope, because we wouldn't try to restore anything unless we believed that it was worth saving. Goes for churches, communities, and our own relationships. Brings us to the third word, renew, to be renewed. The Israelites weren't simply being rescued from something. They were being led toward something. They were becoming a new people. Their identity and future was changing. And that's what renewal means. Renewal isn't necessarily getting everything back the way it used to be, but what can become possible now. And that's an important question for us to ask. Not simply how did we do things, but what is God calling us to do now? Who needs what we have? Who needs a place to belong and a listening ear? Who needs to know that God has not forgotten them? The Exodus story reminds us that God's people are always, always on the move. The Israelites left Egypt, but they were not finished. We know the story. There's a wilderness ahead. There will be fear and doubt, definitely an argument or two along the way, quite a bit of whining. But there will also be moments when they wondered if they had made the right choice. But God continues to lead them. And perhaps that's good news for us. We don't have to have everything figured out. We don't have to know exactly what the church will look like in 10 years. We simply have to remember who we are today. Trust that God is still at work with us and take the next faithful step. All of that brings us back to the beginning of this morning's story of a meal, making sure that you are fed and remembering. The Israelites were told to remember through a meal. Now, I've got a lot of questions about how they roasted that lamb very quickly with the head and the feet and all the innards in it, because I think it would have taken hours to roast. But that's another day's story. But they're asked to remember through a meal. And it's not an accident, because food and memory are deeply connected. Food and memory are deeply connected. Most of us have foods that immediately take us somewhere. And I bet all of you just had one little piece of food pop into your head, that piece of meal that takes you somewhere else. Takes you back, the recipe that takes you back to your mom's kitchen. Or if you're like my mother, I'm waiting to go to my grandmother's house to get a really good pie. A church supper can remind us of the people who are no longer sitting at the table with us. A meal can tell us you belong here. And that's part of what we do when we gather around the communion table. We remember. This table is a table of remembrance. It actually says it right on it, both of them. Remember. We remember Jesus and a love that refuses to give up. We remember forgiveness and grace. We remember that God's table is bigger than any table we could possibly imagine. And perhaps most importantly, we remember that we are not alone. The table connects us to those who came before us, to those sitting beside us today, and those who will come after us. We remember God's faithfulness, the people who brought us here, and the stories that shaped us. We restore what has been broken, restore relationships, restore hope. We renew our courage at this table, renew our compassion and our willingness to follow where God is leading. And we don't come to this table because we have everything figured out. We come because we need God. We come because we need one another. We come because we need to remember. We come because God is not yet finished with us. So let us remember, not so that we can live in the past, but so that we can carry the wisdom into the future. Let us restore, not so that everything looks exactly like it once did, but so that what was broken can become whole. And let us renew, not by pretending that change is easy, but by trusting that God's Spirit is still creating something new among us. Remember, restore, renew, today and every day. Amen.